and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
And a big good morning to you wherever you're listening in the tri-state area or on the iHeart app around the world. You know, last Friday, I got an email from a listener listening in Latvia. Then we got a phone call from a guy who was listening in Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
Then I got off the air and a guy emailed me from Austria.
Ah.
So we're big. Big over there, Michael. I don't know if we're big here, but we're big over there.
Do you think Trump's listening in Singapore?
I doubt it. Us? No.
Fox.
Well, Sean Hannity's in Singapore. He's probably talking to him.
Absolutely. His diplomatic advisor, Sean Hannity.
Get it right there. But will this be the biggest photo op? Now, this is going to be about 13 hours from now. So it's really 9 o'clock tonight, which will be 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, June the 12th in Singapore. Do you think the two of them shaking hands, I presume they'll be smiling. Is this going to be like the biggest photo op you can imagine?
I told you, I think Trump is going to throw his arms around little old roly-poly Kim Jong-un.
I don't think
he's going to tug on his ears, and Kim Jong-un's going to pull on Trump's long red tie, they're going to get along famously.
No.
It's going to be very adorable and
will
cute.
They be all smiles as they shake hands?
Yes,
will there
they
be
will.
More? Will there be a bro handshake? I mean, what are they going to
Trump is going to get along far better with Kim Jong-un than he does with Prime Minister Trudeau up there in Canada.
High five, down low. Then he pulls his hand too slow.
That's,
come on. Really?
I'm just wondering if Dennis Rodman's going to pop in between them and be like, hey, guys.
He's going to photobomb the set.
Rodman's going.
He is going.
He picked up a sponsor. Someone's sponsoring his trip. He's going, Dennis Rodman.
You got to love Trump.
How goofy is that?
He has shaken the world upside down. He has quite appropriately, I think, gone to our allies in the G7 and said, look, you guys have slapped tariffs on our goods, so we're going to slap some tariffs on your goods unless you want to start a negotiation. We're not going to give you a free ride anymore. And he goes to Kim Jong-un and says, let's get rid of your nuclear program. We'll guarantee your safety. Let's ratchet down the tension on the Korean Peninsula.
All right, let me do the big three, then I'll read you what Trudeau said, which pissed off Trump. Our big three tonight is the night. Less than 13 hours from now, Trump's going to meet Kim Jong-un in Singapore after that contentious, I tell you, G7, where we're calling Justin Trudeau a backstabber. Although some people keep calling him Pierre Trudeau on the newscasts. Justin.
There used to be Pierre Trudeau was once the Prime Minister of Canada.
Yes. No, this is
Justin's dad.
Also in the big three, all you have to do with the Tonys to earn a standing ovation is drop the F-bomb. Just ask Robert De Niro.
Oh, please.
He says F Trump on the CBS telecast, which they bleeped out. They bleeped out the whole sentence, so no one knew what had happened. But what the audience saw was a 40-second standing ovation.
Yes, because, Broadway's not exactly Trump-friendly territory.
You don't think so, huh?
No, I don't think
so. Rounding out the big three, Justify can win them all. And it's good to know the Mets can't lose them all.
Yep.
Hey, they finally won a game last night. Shocked me, beating the Yankees 2-0. Terrific pitching from Seth Lugo, and then Gazelman in relief did well. And
let's not forget Rafael Nadal. He won his 11th French Open.
Yeah, that's very impressive, too. We have the turning point of the Mets game. You're going to have to think really hard for this one. So we have tickets for you at 8:30. If you can be the first caller to identify the turning point. The Mets are off today. They're in Atlanta tomorrow night, beginning a road trip that will stretch over a week and a half. And coverage here on WOR begins at 6:05.
Can they maintain the winning momentum?
Well, you know what they say in baseball, momentum's only as strong as the next day's starting pitcher. So, but I'll tell you, I never thought, if I had to pick a game the Mets were going to win against the Yankees, it would have been Saturday night against Herman, who's been pitching awful for the Yankees. And the Mets got 3 runs in the first inning and lost 4-3.
There you go.
So there you go. Aaron Judge hit the tie-breaking game-winning homer. But here they got 2 runs against Luis Severino, who's the best Yankee pitcher. You knew they were going to blow it. And Jose Reyes tried his best in the 8th inning, threw wildly, never stepped on second. There were 2 men on when there should have been a double play, and Gazelman got out of it.
They held it together.
Then Anthony Swarzak did the job in the 9th inning. All right, so here's what happened at the G7. Trump signs this memorandum, and I guess he takes off. And then Trudeau meets with reporters and told them that Trump's decision to invoke national security to justify U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum is kind of insulting, he said, to Canadian veterans who had stood by their U.S. allies in conflicts dating back to World War I. He said, Canadians are polite and reasonable. We will also not be pushed around. So what happened?
Trump
says,
them.
All right, take my signature off.
That's great.
All right, I'm revoking my signature.
Well, that was in poor taste, I thought, for little Justin up there with his floating eyebrow. What, he didn't say it to Trump's face. He waited till Trump was on Air Force One halfway across the world before he comes out and says, oh, wow, this is a terrible thing to do. We've stood by you through all those wars. Let me tell you something. Here, you know what America has done for this world? America bailed out Europe. Europe was destroyed, was broke after World War II. We had the brilliant Marshall Plan, and we saved Europe's bacon during the Cold War because Europe never had to pick up the tab for any defense, for any weapons against the Soviet Union. If it had not been for the United States, the Soviet Union would be controlling the entire continent of Europe now. We paid the tab for the Cold War. It's about time the Europeans start paying their way too.
Wow. Look at you.
Yes.
You go, Riedel.
Thank you.
So anyway, but what Michael just alluded to before with the floating eyebrow, as a listener pointed out, apparently Justin Trudeau's eyebrow was falling off.
It was.
Why would you have a fake eyebrow pasted on over your
eye? Wait.
What?
Wait until Trump gets a hold of the floating eyebrow.
It's
going to
be great.
It's unbelievable.
This is going to be a tweet storm about the eyebrow.
It's falling off.
It's going to be a tweezer
storm. It's the silliest thing.
His eyebrow's floating down around his nose.
Anyway, you're right when Trump gets a hold of it. But this was Justin Trudeau, a little bit of what he said.
It is not something we relish doing, but it is something that we absolutely will do. Because Canadians, we're polite, we're reasonable, but we also will not be pushed around.
So he's talking about the tariffs he's going to
impose. Oh, boy, I'm really scared that Canada is not going to be pushed around. Woo, boy, when those Canadians get riled up, look out, Len. They might skate at you.
No, it's look out, Len.
Len.
You can see the floating eyebrow on our website. 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. But I thought what was funny is not only does Trump revoke the signature, he sends out all of his people, and they were all on the same talking point that, well, here's Larry Kudlow, one of his financial advisors.
Here's the thing. I mean, he really kind of stabbed us in the back.
And here's another advisor, Peter Navarro.
There's a special place in hell for any foreign leader that engages in bad faith diplomacy with President Donald J. Trump and then tries to stab him in the back on the way out the door.
Wow. Mm. You think stab him in the back was a little White House talking point?
I have a feeling that that was on the bullet points before everybody went on television yesterday.
When is
you think
Sarah,
Trudeau's sorry?
When's Sarah Sanders' next performance or Kellyanne Conway? They'll be saying stab him in the back.
You think Trudeau was going to be groveling though to try to smooth things over with Trump? Do you really think Trudeau was going to stand up to you?
No, I heard one analyst say that Trudeau is very left. And the way Trump plays to his right base, Trudeau plays to his left base.
Oh, Trudeau's a socialist.
No, but
he's totally
out of left. But this is strong with his base to stand up to Trump. No, I think from a standpoint of trying to show that you got you're a man's man, you know, he's not gonna back off. I don't think he'll grovel to Trump. I don't think so at all.
Trump can knock Trudeau six ways to Sunday.
But then I thought, well, for Kudlow to say this. Let me play the bite, and then let me ask you a question.
All right.
POTUS is not going to let a Canadian prime minister push him around. He is not going to permit any show of weakness on the trip to negotiate with North Korea. Sure. Him must not see American weakness.
So why? But why would he say that? Doesn't that undermine your whole point if you're telling Kim we're just being strong with the G7 because we don't want to look weak? But that's like showing your hand.
No, he's setting up to Kim and say, look, you know, I am coming to have a good faith negotiation with you. This is a historic moment. We can put our differences aside. If you scale back the nuclear program, if you denuclearize, we guarantee you can be king of North Korea for the rest of your life. We won't meddle in your affairs. But if you agree to do something, and when I get back on the plane to go home, and you backtrack on that agreement, I'm going to Trudeau you.
I just think it's funny that the president,
Do you think the president has thin skin? Your president.
I'm just. Trudeau says a little negative thing about him. Backstabber! That's taking away my signature.
Well, Trudeau is a wimp. I mean, if he's going to have these disagreements with Trump, have them to Trump's face. Debate it out. Hash it out. Trump would be happy to talk to him about it. But as soon as Trump's in the air on his way to Singapore, that's when Trudeau comes out and says, oh, by the way, I think this is terrible what America's doing. That was inappropriate.
Well, maybe he did say it to his. You don't think he said it to his face?
No, I'm sure he didn't. Yeah. I don't think he did.
So Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, briefed reporters over in Singapore a couple of hours ago. And listen, you got these two guys in one room. Talk about a photo op.
In each of those two countries, there are only two people that can make decisions of this magnitude. And those two people are going to be sitting in a room together tomorrow.
And it's going to be remarkable. But I think, unless it's 100% denuclearization and 100% verifiable, then we're just going to be accused of, you know, you can't remove sanctions until you get exactly what you want. You can't say, okay, we'll remove a few sanctions if you do that. No. You remove all the nukes, let us verify it, then.
And Trump is saying to Kim Jong-un, if you agree to this, when I get on the plane and go back home, don't turn around and stab me in the back the way Justin did, or I'm going to mess around with your eyebrows.
You know what? And Trump is going to be strong with Kim just to make a point with Trudeau.
That's right. The world is upside down. Our allies are our enemies, and our enemies are our friends.
But that is the funny with the eyebrow thing. Who the hell wears phony eyebrows?
Justin
is that
Trudeau.
The craziest
it's
thing.
Not a thing that I know of.
Have you ever heard of that?
Fake eyelashes are a big thing. Definitely.
I've heard of women tattooing eyebrows on.
Do you think he put it on with scotch tape?
You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
No,
I've heard of women tattooing eyebrows.
Yeah, it's kind of an old thing because they have a lot of good product now that you can use and you don't have to be permanent.
Like like a temporary.
It's a pencil. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk about that horrific Long Island accident with the van and the youngsters. You know, there are details that are mind-numbing that are coming out of this. Plus, we're going to have Mark Simone coming up at the end of our show at 10 o'clock.
Hey, if you missed out on the Mother's Day sale from Chamonix, then today is your lucky day. Right now, when you order Genucel, you will get the new Genucel Eyelid Lift for droopy, saggy eyelids absolutely free. And for the first time ever, you'll also get the world-famous Cristal's Microdermabrasion, and that's also free. Yes, the best sale of the year just got better. Here's what Claire from Raleigh, North Carolina has to say. I've been using your products for 3 days. My husband already noticed the texture of my skin. It's looking so good. It feels nice and smooth with lots of moisture. The bags under my eyes are minimal now. So far, so good. So call Genucel at 1-800-577-8627. That's 1-800-577-8627. Or visit Genucel.com and get your Genucel now. Experience the power of looking and feeling your best every morning. And help Chamonix's commitment to battered women's shelters across America. Order today and say goodbye to the bags and puffiness tomorrow. Call 1-800-577-8627, 1-800-577-8627, or visit Genucel.com.
Traffic time. Let's visit Bernie Vider.
Very good Monday, everybody. Wishing you a happy start to the work week ahead. And stick around, because at 8:30, I'm going to have the Turning Point competition from last night's exciting game with the Mets and Yankees.
Yankees won 1-2.
Unexpected.
Mets won it 2-0 over the Yankees.
And, unexpected win.
Hey, we have a lot of listeners who like to email today. If you didn't know, you can email Michael and me privately and directly at our website, which is 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. Linda's not real pleased with you, though, Michael. She said, how can you say that Trump isn't concerned with human rights? I guess your question had to do with...
He's meeting with North Korea. Yeah. He's meeting with Kim Jong-un. And, you know, North Korea is not exactly
right.
Has a great record on human rights, but there's not been much discussion if Trump is going to bring up the issue of human rights at the summit with Kim Jong-un.
I think you made the crack that he doesn't seem to be that concerned about human rights. And Linda wants to point out that he bombed Syria when they gassed their citizens. So there, that's proof.
Ooh, fair
how much the president cares about human rights.
Well, Obama did absolutely nothing. He talked about a red line in the sand.
I thought that was his biggest mistake.
And when they ran over that red line, he said, I'm not going to do anything.
Huge mistake. Yeah. And I hated it when he would always say all options are on the table, which always said to me, no options are on the table.
Exactly.
So that was a big mistake, not crossing the red line, not, you know, doing anything about it. And a bunch of people kind of like the story about Justin Trudeau and his eyebrow.
The floating eyebrow.
There's video now of his eyebrow falling down. So he had a fake eyebrow. So he's talking to the media, and his eyebrow's like halfway in his eye.
Floating around.
So anyway, Mona emails that, what do you expect? He's a lowbrow. And
that's funny, Mona. Very good,
very
Mona.
Good, Mona. Bill said he was browbeaten by Trump.
I wish Trump had been around.
We have some clever listeners, one or two of them.
I wish Trump had been around, though, for the floating eyebrow. The way, remember he wiped the dandruff off Macron's shoulder? Yeah. He said, Justin, let me fix your eyebrow for a moment. Here, anyone got any scotch tape? Got any scotch tape,
how do you
please?
Keep on a fake? Is
it's
glue?
A little glue. They have glue. That's how you put those fake eyebrows on, eyelashes on as well.
No, but I know you're a fashion expert.
Yeah. Okay, have you whatever.
Of, you ever heard of guys or women with glued on eyebrows?
Absolutely not. I've Justin heard of Trudeau. Men, you know, doing the waxing of their eyebrows these days to make them more shapely.
Right.
But I have never heard a fake eyebrow.
Well, Trudeau he got nervous taking on Trump, and so he was sweating profusely, and it was that sweat that undid the glue, and then his eyebrow went dropping down by his nose and became a mustache.
They do have a process where you can add hair into your eyebrow temporarily, just like a fake eyelash, so to make them fuller. Oh, yeah, okay. But not one that's going to droop down.
That is funny. You gotta see it.
Let this be a lesson to Kim Jong-un. Make sure your eyebrows are in place before you meet Trump.
Yeah. Well, he's a very stylish guy.
You have to see the picture if you haven't seen it yet, because it is something to see.
Go look at it. When you're emailing us at the website, same place, go look at the picture of Trudeau.
There was this terrible crash of an SUV on Long Island over the weekend. A 15-year-old girl, she and her pals, they stole one of her friend's dad's SUV.
Yes.
They pile into the car.
They're heading down the Meadowbrook Parkway for Jones Beach.
They're weaving in and out of traffic. Yeah. They crash. The girl, whose name is Cindy Sanchez.
She survived. She was
the driver. She survived, but a bunch of people in the car were killed, including the son of the guy whose SUV it was that they stole.
There were 10 in the car. Three died. The three who died were not wearing seatbelts. So there's another warning for you.
Yep.
Now, Cindy Sanchez has been charged with 3 counts of second-degree manslaughter, 3 counts of criminally negligent homicide. She's going to be arraigned today in Nassau County Family Court. But here's the part that she has an 18-month-old son.
Who was in the car with her.
Which means she had this child at 13.
Yeah.
And
she's driving recklessly with her 18-month-old son in the SUV?
With no license, obviously, at 15.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I can't
Not
drive.
Even close.
I don't understand why kids would do these crazy things, especially if they're going to get in danger. Now 3 kids are dead. I bet. I don't know how their families must feel, but this is honestly very sad.
Well, families are devastated.
Kids lose their life when they're supposed to be in school. Like, that is so sad.
Terrible.
She was speeding, going in and out of traffic. The car flipped several times.
Do we know if they were drinking?
I don't know. Because I'm thinking of that garbage truck that piled into all those cars over the weekend. That guy was drinking.
That
no,
was drinking.
I don't think he was drinking in this case. Not that they've said.
No.
But this is just
horrific.
Here's one of the police on the scene.
We have witness statements that reported that the vehicle was traveling at a high rate of speed and driving erratically. The vehicle did lose control, overturned several times, and came to final rest on the west shoulder into the marsh.
3 kids killed.
Just terrible. Well, on a brighter note, Michael.
It's time for Mets Truck Full of Nuts Turning Point of the Game. Be the first person who can correctly identify the turning point of the game from last night, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Dodgers on June 24th at Citi Field. So give us a call here at 1-800-321-0710, 1-800-321-0710, and tell us what the turning point was from last night's game. The turning point is presented by Truck Full of Nuts, New York's coffee since 1932. To purchase tickets, go to Mets.com/tickets. And now let's get the 8:30 news with Mike Bauer. Good morning, Mike.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Len. President Trump set to meet one-on-one today with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. We're just hours away from the highly anticipated summit. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the goal remains the same.
The ultimate objective we seek from diplomacy with North Korea has not changed. The complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization of the Korea Peninsula is the only outcome that the United States will accept.
President Trump says he's willing to walk away if things don't go well. The Trump administration is blasting Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. This after Trudeau promised retaliatory tariffs against the U.S. Trump economic advisor Larry Kudlow tells CNN State of the Union they were stabbed in the back.
It's a betrayal, okay? Essentially double-crossing. Not just double-crossing President Trump, but the other members of the G7 who were working together and pulling together this communique.
Kudlow calls it a sophomoric stunt. This news is brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. And guys, the federal government is paying not one, but two employees more than $60,000 a year to tape President Trump's papers back together.
Who's taping his eyebrows?
To tape his papers. Two people are being paid $60,000?
Correct. Apparently, Trump has a habit of ripping up papers when he's done with them, whether they be memos, notes, whatever, but they have to be preserved because of the Presidential Records Act. So the White House has two employees spending months collecting pieces of paper shredded by the president and then taping it back together. This includes everything from newspaper articles, letters from constituents, and messages from members of Congress.
To an agreement with Canada, apparently. Somebody's got to tape that one back together.
A contact sheet for Trudeau. Aides tried to simply get Trump to stop ripping the papers, but that didn't work. So now they're getting paid $60,000 apiece to tape papers back together for the president.
Man.
Okay, your tax dollars hard at work, folks. Hey, stick around. We've got more details on Anthony Bourdain's suicide. And this has got to be tough on his family. His body is still in France, Len.
Yeah,
they can't get it back. That. All that's coming up when we get back. But now let's check on the traffic with Bernie Viter.
UOR.
You know, I can't say it's a subject that I just can't wait to talk about, but it's just so important. The subject of suicide with these two very famous, Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain, have some details, have some other comments and thoughts. But first, we've got a winner.
We do indeed. Congratulations to Katie Minerva from Comac, New York. She was the first caller to correctly identify that the turning point from last night's game was this.
1-2 to Frazier. Reyes runs the pitch at high in the air to left field, pretty deep. Gardner back at the track, at the wall. Gone, a home run! Todd Frazier with his seventh home run of the year, and the Mets take a 2-0 lead.
And this time the two runs held up. That was Todd Frazier's big two-run homer, and that was the final score, 2-0.
Your next chance to win the Turning Point competition is by listening to the next Mets post-game show on WOR for the Mets Chock Full of Nuts Turning Point of the Game.
And the next Mets game here on 710 will be tomorrow night. The Mets are off today, but tomorrow night they will be in Atlanta. Coverage here on WOR begins at 6:05. Now, this is always unsettling. The details of trying to get Anthony Bourdain's body, it's not going well for the family. What's going on?
Apparently, Anthony Bourdain's body is stuck in bureaucratic red tape in France, leaving funeral plans for him temporarily on hold. That's what the chef's mom has told the New York Post. They're waiting for the body to be released. You know, these Europeans are full of their bureaucracy, and they have all these forms, I'm sure, you have to fill out and whatnot. But for the time being, the body is still in France, and they are unable, the family is unable to make funeral plans until they get him back.
Some details are coming out. He took his own life last Friday.
It was hanged Friday. Himself with the belt from his bathrobe.
And but the camera crew was waiting downstairs. They were going to go do some filming. You know, it was parts unknown. They were in, it wasn't the town we had first said. They were going to go have dinner. Remember, you were talking about Strasbourg. I think that's where they were going to go down the road to dinner.
Right.
So this five-star hotel, and now is a village of Kaiserberg.
Yes, and the hotel is called Le Chambard.
A five-star hotel in a cozy, converted 18th-century mansion. You just keep shaking your head over people like Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain. My goodness, you thought he had the world by the... He's traveling the world, going to any country he wants, eating anything he wants. Looks like he's having great camaraderie with everyone, from presidents to local citizens.
You know, and my girlfriend and I, we watched CNN on Saturday night. They were doing sort of back-to-back Anthony Bourdain shows, and there was a very moving one where he talks about his battle with heroin, drug abuse, and he goes up to a town in New England where he had his first job as a chef, and the town has a lot of drug problems there, and he meets with a lot of people who are in Alcoholics Anonymous, and he talks and tries to sort of say, you can get out of this as I did. You can battle heroin addiction. You can battle alcohol addiction. You can get your life back on track as I did. And it was a very uplifting segment of Parts Unknown. Except the poignancy on it all is that apparently he never really got out of the clutches of addiction.
if you want just one mildly positive outcome from these celebrity suicides, is that calls to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, they go up. They're up like 25%.
Mm.
And the number again is 800-273-8255, 800-273-8255, and calls are just increasing, which is it's good and bad. I mean, obviously people are hurting, but at least people are calling to try to get some help or try to get out of the situation.
It was a real shock. We were on the air when it came when it came through last Friday.
Well, shocker to me. When I saw 61 years old, he dies, I go, whoa. And then you look on the CNN website and they say suicide. Unbelievable.
And his friend, the chef at Le Bernardin, found the body because he did not come down for breakfast.
Now, it's an interesting story in the Daily News that there are other ways. You don't have to call the national hotline. I mean, you can walk into any hospital, any emergency room. He says no hospital will ever turn away a suicidal individual.
I should hope so.
So New York City has set up a number of resources for depressed and suicidal citizens. You call 311, they'll connect you. NYC Well is the city's free and confidential hotline for people that have mental or substance abuse problems. So lots of places can help.
Yeah, I was listening to some people over the weekend talking about suicide, and they said that you can be absolutely down in the depths and suicidal, especially if you've been abusing alcohol. But they say that the suicidal impulse, it does pass. So if you are at that moment where you think, I can't go on anymore, they say, call somebody, walk out of your house or your apartment, go to a neighbor, go find somebody to talk to, because that is a way to help that impulse pass and you won't fall into the temptation of killing yourself.
Both the Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, the common link was that they said Kate Spade had an alcohol problem.
Yeah.
Well, that's coming out. And then Anthony Bourdain had substance problems. So obviously there's a lot of issues. Not everybody who has an alcohol or a substance problem is going to contemplate suicide, but clearly there's something there.
Well, if you're prone to depression, as suicidal people are, alcohol and drugs are going to exacerbate the depressive feelings and the suicidal impulse. So it's very important. As I say, I was listening to a woman who's an expert on suicide on the radio over the weekend, and she said the impulse will pass, but you have to do something. You have to make a phone call. You have to talk to somebody else. You have to have human contact, and that can get you through that terrible, dark moment.
Now, the good news is that, talking to my daughter, who is a teenager, there's not a stigma as there once was on mental illness.
Yeah.
And that they're more willing to talk about their issues and their problems and seek help, which hopefully will, turn the tide on things like this. Because before, you would never, ever talk about an issue you had.
No.
I mean,
no.
You would be embarrassed. You wouldn't want to tell anybody
to
know.
Kept it bottled up.
Absolutely. So
that's true.
At least the younger generation seems to be a little bit more open to talking.
They're a lot more open to everything, the younger generation.
I think it always is the case, but
it just seems that way. It's much more tolerant of children with disabilities, fellow classmates,
transgendering,
all that.
Classmates with different gender issues are much, much more tolerant.
Yes,
I think.
So that's
you always hear about bullying, but I'm telling you, they're a lot more tolerant than older generations.
Do you remember, though, in my time as a kid, there was someone in our town who committed suicide, and you never talked about it.
Oh, no. It was never mentioned.
You never discussed it.
Well, Senator Schumer says you got to spend more money. He says the federal suicide prevention grants to state governments have been unchanged at $35 million since 2013.
We do so much about auto accidents, which kill a comparable number of people. Why aren't we doing more about suicide? Now, of course, everyone is paying attention due to these two unfortunate deaths of very well-known and beloved figures. And so I think we should strike now because there'll be much more sympathy to get more money here.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a matter of getting more money for these programs or not. I think it's a matter of people taking advantage of programs that they don't try or they don't know or they don't make that phone call. That, to me, is the key.
Leave it to Chuck to jump on the bandwagon and get out there in front of the cameras. Every Monday morning, it's predictable.
At least it's an issue we can all agree on.
That is true.
All right. Coming up right here on Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning. Eminem did what at his concert?
Amazing.
This, to me, made no sense whatsoever. Wait till you hear this. After 9/11, did you live in Lower Manhattan? Did you work there, go to school there, or did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? So here are a couple of questions for you. were in Lower Manhattan, below Canal Street, between September 11th, 2001, and the summer of 2002? And secondly, have you been diagnosed with cancer? If you answered yes to both questions, you may be eligible for compensation. Call attorney Noah Kushlevsky, the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He's recovered over $1 billion with a B for clients affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help. Just look him up, folks. How many cases over $1 million? Noah's resolved over 400 of them. $400 million cases. So, if you're a student or live near Ground Zero or work near there below Canal Street after 9/11 and now you have cancer, call him. Call 888-974-3125 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. That's groundzerocancer.com or call 888-974-3125. Let's go to traffic now and Bernie Viter.
Monday morning, everybody, at 8:54. Alan, I just want to say one quick thing about the Tony Awards. I was watching last night, and I was really touched by Nathan Lane's acceptance speech. He won for playing Roy Cohn in Angels in America. And I've known Nathan, gosh, going on 30 years, and he was always identified as a musical comedy star. I mean, possibly, arguably, the greatest musical comedy star of his generation in shows like Guys and Dolls and Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum and, of course, The Producers. But he decided a couple of years ago that he was done with musical comedies. They take a lot of work, and he's got to carry that show on his back. And he wanted to make the transition to becoming a serious, dramatic actor in non-musical plays. And his decision was rewarded last night when he won the Tony for playing Roy Cohn in Angels in America.
I want to send my thanks and love to Tony Lip, Tony Howard, and Simon Halls for taking such good care of me, to Scott Rudin for his incredible friendship, and most importantly, to my... To my dear husband, Devlin Elliott, the greatest blessing in my life.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Devlin stood by him when Nathan said, you know, I really want to try my hand at some serious acting.
Have
enough
you seen
of
the show?
Musical theater. Yeah, yeah, he's great. He's brilliant.
He really is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just view him as a song and dance man and belting out tunes. So obviously he showed some real range as an actor in this thing.
Totally. Yeah, totally. In fact, he would say to you that the musical comedy career sort of came by happenstance. He started out to be a serious dramatic actor who just turned out to have this great gift for entertaining people with song and dance man.
Well, he was wonderful in The Producers.
He was
just sensational.
Magnificent. Yeah. So this is a weird one. I didn't know this, but at Eminem's concerts, and this is bizarre, Len, he uses for sound effects gunshots.
Well, I'm going to play it for you, but it's really fascinating what happened over the weekend. And I'll, first of all, if you're having a concert, this is in Tennessee. It's called the Bonnaroo Music Festival in Tennessee, and people were panicked. But apparently he plays this at all his concerts.
What's the point of doing gunshots at your concert? I don't get it.
Well, his people, well, listen to it. Here's how the song ends.
Whoa. My God, I'd be terrified if I
were. You know, especially what happened in Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to hear this again. Of course, you have the expletives with Eminem, but let me hear this again. So you have this boom. Now, his someone in his management team was quoted as saying that was not a gunshot. It was the pyrotechnics, like of a fireworks going and whatever. But still, that's got to be tough in a concert setting, you know, especially after Vegas.
Frightening. You would think he would have taken that sound effect out of his concerts.
Well, I've been to concerts that have loud pyrotechnics going off, and it's jarring. I'm not a fan because it makes you, you know, sit up for a second. Then you see it and you realize what's going on, but for a very split second you think, what was that? So yeah, there's no way of changing it. And it's gonna be loud.
You know who could have used some pyrotechnics? Bruce Springsteen last night at the Tony Awards. He was so boring with his dirge like performance.
I was at a McCartney shoots as fireworks. Live and Let Live in that song. They shoot off a boom. You know,
it's called
da 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 boom.
Yeah,
but I mean, James Bond.
Yeah,
Live and Let Die. It's not Live and Die. It's not Live and Let Live. It's Live and Let Die.
Well, my philosophy.
Live and Let Live.
No. Live and Let is my optimistic philosophy. Live and Let Live.
Yeah,
that's my
optimistic. The other James Bond movie is Dr. Yes.
Well, I like that. Do you know I have a huge painting in my family room?
Of?
That just says yes.
Ah.
See, I'm an optimistic person. You know, my mom said when she saw it?
No.
No. She deadpanned. She didn't realize how funny she was. She looked at it and went, no. And I said, no, yes.
Boys, the kids of celebrities, are there more messed up people on the planet than children of celebrities? Redmond O'Neill, the son of Ryan O'Neill and the late, great Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett, yeah.
Was charged by the Los Angeles County District Attorney with one count of attempted murder, two counts of assault with a deadly weapon, one count of criminal threats, one count of brandishing a knife, and one count of battery.
What happened?
According
here?
To the Los Angeles Police Department. He was arrested and charged with attempted murder and a slew of other crimes when he went on a violent spree in Southern California. He allegedly attacked a number of people who made eye contact with him. He's accused of stabbing Venice, California man in the side on May 4th, and later that night allegedly stabbed another man numerous times in the nearby area. Apparently, he did not know any of these people, but he was high as a kite on drugs.
Substance problems, right?
Right. You know, we're knocking around, and these guys just look at him like, what's wrong with you, dude? And he attacks them. So.
And then Vince Vaughn, he's a good actor.
Yeah,
okay. Arrested also Manhattan Beach in California, suspicion of drunk driving.
Really?
Yeah. So, my goodness. 48-year-old actor charged Sunday with driving under the influence and resisting arrest. He was stopped at a checkpoint about 1 in the morning, taken into custody, and his passenger was also arrested for public intoxication. They have a zero-tolerance approach, Manhattan Beach Police Department. So,
did you see his mugshot?
Oh my goodness!
It looks like it's an office ID. He's smiling. He's like, "Hey, we're posting that. If you haven't seen it
yet,
he
looks like he's had a few drinks there.
Well, but he's got a smirky little smile on.
That's kind of a hey.
You got to look at Redmond O'Neill's mugshot. His face is all bruised up. Oh. He's got gashes in the face. He's not. This is not a. This is not your employee.
No, it's not.
Kids of celebrities. You're painting a brush of that?
Yeah. But, well, you know, there's a cemetery in Los Angeles where a lot of kids of celebrities are buried because they all OD'd on drugs in the
70s. Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, my goodness. So.
Has anybody seen, speaking of pictures, Teresa Giudice from Housewives?
She got
into a bodybuilding.
We don't care.
Oh, you have to see her.
We don't care.
All right, we'll get into
710WR.com, Lena Michael.
Hey, stick around when we get back. Robert De Niro dropped the F-bomb on Trump last night at the Tony Awards. Crude and tasteless. And he got a standing ovation. We'll be bleeping him out when we get back after the 9 o'clock news.
This is
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Well, the world is upside down in Trump land. Len, good morning to you. And Monday,
oh, good morning,
start
to you.
Of a work week. So Trump is on his way to Singapore to have a bromance with roly-poly little Kim Jong-un. I think he's going to throw his arms around him and pull his ears, and Kim Jong-un is going to yank on Trump's long tie, and they're going to get along fine. But the United States is at war with Canada, it appears, since Trump was backstabbed.
I hope that don't burn down the White House again.
1812. Yes, old Justin Trudeau, who's, you know, a typical effete Canadian, backstabbed Trump as soon as Trump left the G7. And so Trump is turning on our allies, and he's going to make nicey-nice with our enemies. This is the way Trump does things. He mixes it all up. You don't know where you stand with the president.
Well, you know, the meeting is now 12 hours away.
Yeah, with Kim Jong-un.
As one Fox broadcaster referred to as the meeting between two dictators.
Slip of the tongue. That's all it was. Just a mistake. She just misread the teleprompter. That's
Freudian,
all.
Freudian mistake.
She misread the teleprompter. She apologized.
She did apologize. But it's just 12 hours away, so it's going to happen at 9 o'clock tonight.
Kind of exciting, I think.
Well, I'd like to see what it's got to be televised live around the world, that moment when they shake hands, I would assume. Okay.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, of course it will be.
And how long are they going to going to say anything? Are you going to hear from Trump at that moment before they kick the media out of the room?
Well, Trump also said he's going to be able to size up Kim Jong-un in a couple of minutes, and if it's not going well, just turn around, walk out the door, get on the plane, and he'll be gone.
Well, do you think people will be listening at the door with, like, cups glasses? These guys talk. Well, obviously.
Potential for a real history to be made, though, here, I think.
No, I hope so.
You know? And did you ever think in your lifetime you would see a United States president sit down with the dictator of North Korea?
Absolutely not.
You know, that was one of the isolated countries left there in the world.
The Hermit Kingdom.
I bet the first thing they do is they end the Korean War, which technically ended.
I think that's the first thing they do, so at least they come out, both of them, and say, well, we did something.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've had a ceasefire since 1950-something, but they've never had a peace agreement.
So Justin Trudeau backstabbed backstabbed our president. At the same time, Robert De Niro, who used to be a good actor before he became a hack doing Meet the Parents 7, dropped the F-bomb on Trump last night at the Tony Awards, which I thought was tasteless, crassless, and unnecessary.
Yeah. Well, finish the big three, and then we'll get back to that.
And also in the big three, the Mets won last night. They beat the Yankees.
Yes, they did.
That was an upset because it looked like they were going to go down 3 for the count. But,
I thought so. Especially with Luis Severino on the mound, the Yankees' best pitcher. And Mets had taken the lead in the previous two games against the Yankees and didn't hold it. And here they had a home run once again to take the lead. And they tried to give it back. Jose Reyes had a boneheaded play in the eighth inning, but they held on. Yep. Mets win. Mets win. 2-0.
And we got a triple crown winner in Justify who won Belmont. And that was exciting.
That was exciting. And I think... I don't know. If you didn't watch it, here's what it sounded like. It was great.
It was great.
And they're into the stretch, and Justify comes roaring home to a raucous Belmont Park with one furlong to run. Gronkowski and Hofberg trying to run him down. Vino Rosso is fourth, a 16th to go. Justify is still there. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect, and now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th. Triple crown winner! Gronkowski was second, Hofberg was third, and Vino Rosso was fourth. Justify has done it!
I need a little Howard Deed there.
Yeah! Your horse was there in the pack, Vino Rosso, number four.
Not with any ice on the side, but I like ice in my Vino Rosso.
Yes, Len ices his red wine, folks.
But, he's just perfect, and now he's just immortal.
That was good.
Yeah! That's what I wanted. Yeah. That was Larry Colmus, by the way, the track announcer who did a tremendous job.
Yeah. Now, were you glued to the Tony Awards last night, Len, as I was?
I watched the first part, but then it was bedtime. You know, sleep comes first. Well, you had to. You had to write a column, which is in the Post this morning.
It is indeed. Online,
I saw
too.
Your column. You had a good last line. You said, repeat your last line, because I thought it was pretty
good. You can hear Michael Riedel.
No.
Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning at 710 WOR.
No, I don't think that was in there today.
But I can't remember.
No,
what
no.
I was barely awake when I wrote it.
Okay, jibber jabber for a second. I'll find it.
The Tonys were okay, I thought, last night. Josh Groban and Sarah Bareilles, they did a good job. I did miss the singing and dancing that you get with somebody like a Neil Patrick Harris or a Hugh Jackman or a James Corden. And
they
some of the
sang.
Jokes, some of that. No, but they're not song and dance people.
No, they're
you know?
Not dancing.
And they
type
didn't
of
do
people.
A really. The opening number was kind of a downer, I thought, where they're dueling pianos. They're like Ferranti and Teicher. And
people don't know who Ferranti and Teicher.
Do you remember Ferranti and Teicher?
I do.
So this is for the people who lose. Because both of us have been in your shoes.
Ooh. Yeah, that's enough of that. That's enough of that.
I like that. They're saying, those of you who lose, this is for you because we've been in your shoes.
That's enough of that.
They went on to talk about all the shows that have lost that are still around, like Chicago and...
Well, Chicago lost originally to Chorus Line. But
here's your last line. You were talking about De Niro.
Yeah, what about De Niro?
You were talking about the fact that he
F-bomb on Trump.
Dropped the F-bomb. Then you wrote, the theater people at Radio City stood and cheered. The deplorables, in quotes, who voted for Trump probably were not watching the Tony Awards.
I love the last line.
That was cute.
I'm the only deplorable who was watching the Tonys last night.
No, but that's cute.
Yeah, thank you, Len. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're a good writer. You know
I am
that?
A very
Anybody
good
ever tell you you're good? Cindy Adams was right. She told me this Riedel has the biggest ego. What are you not supposed to say? I'm a very good writer.
I won the Marfield Prize for my book Razzle Dazzle: The Battle for Broadway.
What the hell is the Marfield Prize?
Comes with $10,000. That's what it is.
I forget who's Marfield.
I don't know, but he gave me $10,000.
And you know what
happy.
You said when you won? I've got it. Yeah,
you got Howard Dean. So I thought it was inappropriate for De Niro to say that, and I thought on the whole though, the theater people who are always on the left. Most of my friends in the theater on the left, they refrained from these unnecessary attacks.
This was the only thing, right?
And Trump. This was the only one.
But listen, first of all, this
De Niro's off his rocker.
This is how it sounded on CBS. All he came out and said, I just want to say one thing, F Trump. But CBS just, it was weird. It was just.
They bleeped the whole thing.
They bleeped the whole thing. But then listen to how long, well, anyway. Okay, so that little spot you heard of silence, they had bleeped out several words.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to the audience.
Yeah.
All right, this went on and on, and all standing ovation.
Well, they had the pent-up feelings for Trump that De Niro unleashed
last
night. By the way,
I thought it was crass, too.
It was.
There's certain venues and places. If you want to, listen, if you have a beef with the president about funding for the arts or something, and if you want to sneak it into an acceptance speech and say, gee, I wish the government would be a little bit more supportive of the arts, that's fine. But this kind of thing, I happen to agree with you. I didn't think it was right.
I thought it undermines a pretty classy telecast, and I think the most moving moment was when the kids from the Parkland High School, where there was the shooting in Florida, they took the stage of Radio City Music Hall, and they sang Seasons of Love from Rent, and that was really well done, I thought.
How do you measure a year?
Good song.
Hey.
Great song from Rent.
Unbelievable.
These kids are good singers.
They're very good. And what was incredible was that I'm sitting at home bawling. I'm crying.
Oh, were you crying?
Oh, yeah. Everybody in my house was crying. Then you look at the audience. They're all crying.
Oh, yeah.
And here are these high school students who, you know, 10 months ago.
They're not crying. They're auditioning.
Well, exactly. They were. Exactly. I mean, they were composed, in character. It was amazing how they could do it. I don't know how they didn't break up.
And they recognized their drama teacher last night on the Tony Awards. Every year at the Tonys, they give an award to a theater teacher, a drama teacher from somewhere in the country, and they gave it to the drama teacher of Parkland last night.
Who took 65 of her students and hid them inside a closet.
I saw
saved the lives of all of her students.
We have the entire video. It's really one you want to see and share. Go to our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. Now, just circling back to De Niro for a second, just the weird way CBS handled it by cutting out a chunk. Now, apparently in Australia, they didn't cut out anything. In fact,
got the full Monty.
They aired it. You know, we bleeped it. I'll play you what was heard in Australia. We bleeped it here. Natalie did. But do we have the unvarnished version on our website?
Oh, you hear? It's not safe for the office.
Okay. Not suitable for work.
It's not suitable for work.
Right. I mean,
put in your earphones. Put in your earplugs.
The full F-bomb.
Here you go.
Are we going to deliver the full F-bomb on the show?
No, not on our show. But you can't see it on the website.
On our website, right.
I'm going to say one thing. F*** Trump.
So that they bleeped out that entire sentence on CBS. I just want to say one thing, F. Trump.
Les Moonves hit the dump button.
Right. So
I'm going to say one thing, F. Trump.
And then they stood and they cheered for at least, 40 seconds, Natalie?
Oh, yeah. It was a good 35 seconds. What I don't understand is why CBS decided to bleep everything. Yeah. So, they whited out the entire comment. So you didn't hear him even saying Trump. I don't understand why they did that.
And then at the end of the 40 seconds, here's what you heard on Australian TV, but not on CBS.
It's no longer down with Trump. It's Trump.
Lovely. Lovely.
Remember when De Niro was a good actor back in 1972?
That wasn't the time or place. Even if you agree with De Niro, it's just not the time or place.
He's become a reckless hack. A reckless hack, De Niro. Hey, we want to know what you think about De Niro dropping the F-bomb on Trump when we come back. So give us a call, 1-800-321-0710. The phones are open. What do you think of all these Hollywood types who want to do nothing but drop the F-bomb on our president? 1-800-321-0710. The phones are open for you.
I have a question for you. After 9/11, did you live in Lower Manhattan? Did you work there, go to school there? Or did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? So here's a twofold question for you. Were you in Lower Manhattan below Canal Street between September 11th, 2001 and the summer of 2002? And have you been diagnosed with cancer? If you answered yes to these two questions, you may be eligible for compensation. Call attorney Noah Kushlevsky. He's the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He's recovered over $1 billion for clients affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help. Look him up, folks. How many cases over $1 million? Well, Noah's resolved over 400 of them. $400 million cases. So, if you were a student or lived near Ground Zero or worked near there below Canal Street after 9/11 and now you have cancer, call him. Call 888 974 3125 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. That's groundzerocancer.com or call 888-974-3125. Let's check out traffic now in Bernie Viter. A lot of you want to weigh in. We'll get to as many calls as we possibly can. This is Robert De Niro last night on the Tonys. It was pretty much totally bleeped out by CBS. He had no idea what he was talking about. But if you were watching in Australia, the first part of his rant when he came on stage, he was introducing Bruce Springsteen's Tony or his performance. He was introducing Springsteen.
He was introducing Springsteen, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to say one thing. F*** Trump.
And then he got like a 40-second standing ovation from everybody
Yahoo.
At the Radio City Music Hall. And then he ended his little, after the ovation, he said,
"It's no longer down with Trump, it's F*** Trump."
Well, they're applauding there. What do you guys think? 800-321-0710. Let's start with Jacqueline here in the city. Good morning, Jacqueline. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning,
well,
Jacqueline.
Who's the punk now? Who's the thug? It's you, De Niro, you monosyllabic, knuckle-dragging troglodyte.
Oh.
You think you can make the Tony Awards your personal venue to tell the world what everybody already knows about you, that you are jealous of Donald Trump because he is at the top of his game and he's got power, and you are reduced to something like last night and starring in wickedly pathetic comedies at this point in your career.
Yeah, Jacqueline, remember when he used to be a good actor?
I do, but I will never, he's on my list along with Jane Fonda and Meryl Streep. I will never pay to see anything they do again for the rest of my life.
I wouldn't want to crush you, Jacqueline. What'd you say, knuckle-dragging troglodyte? Is that what you said?
Knuckle-dragging monosyllabic troglodyte.
Sounds
am I wrong on that?
Sounds like Len Berman.
Spot on? Oh, stop it. Also, Michael, you said something earlier this morning that was like the only really anti-Trump thing. There was a very veiled comment by Glenda Jackson. Did you pick it up at the end of her speech?
I missed that. Remind me. I did see her speech. But what did she say?
Well, it was a lovely speech, but, you know, she's very lefty, as we
she
all
is.
Know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she said, you know, thank you, you know, blah, 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 America, you've always been great. Now, come
oh,
on.
Okay.
You got that?
I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we were very disappointed in the female attire. No good jewelry, really, to speak up on that. No, I mean, that's sad, don't you think? But the best moment was the moment that the camera caught Bartlett Sher with his tongue hanging out.
Yeah, the director of My Fair Lady, yes, yeah. But you know what looked great?
Oh,
I thought Kerry Washington looked just terrific.
She does look great.
Great dress. Great.
I think, now I was with guys last night, and they all said it's just too much with these plunging necklines.
I agree.
And especially Sarah Bareilles. Sarah, you're built like a boy. Don't try to show off.
Whoa,
Jacqueline,
fashion,
you are
fashion police.
You are a tough cookie. Jacqueline, what do you do for a living?
Absolutely nothing.
There you go. And proud of it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jacqueline.
You know who looked awesome, too, was Bernadette Peters.
She looks great. She's over 70
She's
years old. She looks fantastic.
Years old. My daughter goes, how old is she?
Yeah, 70
she
years old.
She was amazed.
By the way, listen to what Jacqueline said. The guys she was with, and I totally agree about the plunging neckline. It's ridiculous.
I don't have any issue with Kerry Washington's plunging neckline, trust
beautiful.
Me. Hey, let's go to Paul on line 4 in Wayne, New Jersey. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Okay, we understand. How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
We can understand why Lynn Berman would be excited. Too bad you missed it.
About what?
What about his vocabulary?
I did not. Paul, don't mischaracterize what I said. I said it lacked class.
That, oh, wow. We agreed for the first time. That's
for
great.
The first time? You and I are bosom, but we're BFF now, Paul.
Not yet. I got to convert a little bit
don't
more.
Don't jump on that, Lynn.
Why are we getting so excited about a four-letter word? I don't understand.
It's a little inappropriate to hurl at the President of the United States.
Exactly. So why are we getting excited? Why is this a show? I don't understand. I mean, we know De Niro hates Trump.
Well, we can play some more of Bruce Springsteen
like,
at the piano.
It's like, you know, when you were 12, you used a four-letter word, everybody clapped, everybody giggled.
Well, yeah. they all gave a standing ovation, Paul. What can I tell you? They all gave a standing ovation. The audience loved it. Hey, Jen in New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Jen. What's
up? Good morning, Jen.
Hi, Lynn and Mr. Know-It-All. sometimes he knows everything about everything. It's just really... But anyway, I do like you. I say bravo,
hi, Jen.
De Niro. What?
No, I just said hello. Be nice.
Hello.
Jen, you say bravo, De Niro?
I do. I said, oh, I got up and clapped when he said, well, I didn't know what he said, but I kind of knew. I mean, it's what I want to say, but I will never say it out loud.
Wow. All right. Jen, I appreciate the call, and so does Mr. Know-It-All. Thanks, thanks for listening. Mr. Know-It-All.
Hey, can we squeeze in Jerry on line 6? Good morning, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi, guys. You're great, all of you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I think that De Niro is deplorable. I think he's vulgar. I used to like him. I will boycott him. I will never see or watch a show that he's in, whether it's on television or whether it is a new movie. And I think everybody doesn't like him. They should do the same thing to boycott him.
Well, Jerry, you're not missing much because his next movie is going to be Meet the Parents Part 12.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. Boy, a lot of interesting calls today. Time for the latest news headlines. Joe Bartlett has a few days off. We'd like to welcome back Mike Bauer. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
And a good Monday morning start of the work week to you all. And it's time to play a game that Len and I really enjoy.
We do.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel present Real News or Fake News. You decide.
And we like it so much because we give you a free T-shirt if you are correct. And, you know, this is not just any T-shirt.
No.
This is a classic. Yes. WOR. It has Len Berman and Michael Riedel on the back.
Yep. And we'll autograph it for you, too.
We would.
We'll sign it. Absolutely.
We'd be happy to do that. So,
all right. Our first contestant on line one is Brian from Brooklyn. Good morning, Brian.
Yes. How are you? How you doing?
We're fine. Are you geared up and ready to go?
Yes, yeah, yes, I am.
I'm going to give you two headlines. You tell me which is real and which is fake. Here we go. Headline number one. Now, we've been talking about Robert De Niro dropping the F-bomb on Trump at the Tonys. This just in. Robert De Niro's next movie is going to be a remake of The Guns of Navarone. Remember that old movie, The Guns of Navarone? Love that movie. De Niro's next movie is going to be a remake of The Guns of Navarone. That's the first headline. The second headline is, two historic libraries in Portugal are infested with bats on purpose because the bats kill off the insects that are damaging the very valuable books in the library. A library has deliberately infested itself with bats to kill off the insects that are gobbling up the books. Brian, which is real and which is fake?
I would say the second one is fake.
The second one is fake, huh? The second one is real, I'm afraid.
Boy,
yes.
We're on a roll here.
These two libraries in Portugal, they have set up the bat cave, apparently, because the bats eat the insects that are devouring the books. And by the way, Len, De Niro's next movie, this is true, is going to be called The Irishman, about Jimmy Hoffa.
You know what? I knew that, and because a scene, it's a Scorsese movie,
yeah.
A scene of the movie was shot at my friend's warehouse. It was
a
warehouse.
Oh, did they bury a body?
No, but a lot of people showed up to watch, and De Niro took pictures and was very nice with everybody. So there you go.
Maybe we've been a little too harsh on Bob
this
morning.
But you're right. His next movie is The Irishman. Okay, we got another contestant. We have Joe in the Bronx. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Len. Hey, Michael. How you doing?
Good morning, Joe.
Are you all psyched? What do you do for a living, Joe?
I'm a writer. I'm a songwriter, lyricist.
Really? How have you done?
I've done okay. Hope to do a little bit better, though. And, I'm working on it.
I'm partial to songwriters. My dad used to write a magazine for songwriters back in the day. Anyway, here you go. I'm going to give you a real headline and a fake headline, and you have to write your own ending and win a prize. You ready?
Okay.
Headline number one, man has no stairs in his house, only escalators. Headline number two, brother filled in for his twin on high school picture day.
I would say number two is real.
Number two, you know, we've had a role here where everybody gets them wrong. You is that your final answer, a brother filled in for his twin on high school picture day?
Okay, you're kind of all right. I'll say number one is real.
No, stick with you.
Stick with the first impulse, Joe.
No,
come on. You're giving it to him. That was not fair,
Joe.
Len,
you were sneaky in there.
Why did you rattle his confidence.
You rattled his confidence.
Joe, what was your first instinct?
Well, my first instinct was number two.
You won.
There you go.
You're
that was so mean, Len.
You won. I can't believe I talked you out of it. Oh, a guy named Marcus Williams, this is in South Carolina, he revealed on Twitter that his twin brother Malcolm took his senior picture instead of him because he was sick.
Okay, that works.
He
that
said
works
not all, his family didn't even notice it.
Oh, that's too much.
That's pretty funny. All right, you win. Come on, Joe. Don't get talked out of your instincts so easily.
No, you're very good at that, Len.
All right, go write some songs.
Hey, Joe, I hope you win a Tony Award one day for your songs on Broadway.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. I hope so, too.
Thanks, pal. Hey, speaking of the Tonys, I have an interesting email from one of our listeners, John.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about Nathan Lane.
Yeah.
And he won, of course, for
Angels in America. He played Roy Cummins.
Effectively best supporting actor. They call it best featured actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is confusing. Because to me, best featured actor could have been the main actor.
No. That's leading actor.
I know. But yeah. What they call the other one that Garfield won?
Best actor.
Best actor? Okay.
Best actor.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, Nathan Lane wins. And John emails me, funny thing happened on the way to the forum. The film version with Zero Mostel, Phil Silvers, Buster Keaton, Jack Guilford was much better than Broadway. He said, ask your sidekick, however, if he can name a single female actress in the movie without having one of your producers look it up.
A female actress who was in...
Funny thing happened on the way to the forum.
Ruth Buzzy.
I doubt that.
It's a good guess, though.
That's a bad guess.
Joanne Worley?
All right, now we got to Google this.
Did this guy give an answer?
No.
Well, there's got to be the ingenue. There was a pretty woman who would have been in it. There's an ingenue part, but I don't know the name of the actress.
All right, movie cast, funny thing.
Happened on the way to the forum.
See if there's any women in the cast.
Yeah, there would be.
And now the computer wants to be slow. We've been sitting here for 4 hours on the show. Oh, here we go. The first six pictures are all men.
Yes.
Zero Mostel, Buster Keaton, Jack Guilford, Phil Silvers, Michael Crawford.
Yes. Yes, Michael Crawford, who was the Phantom of the Opera on Broadway.
The women. There's a woman named Annette Andre. Did you ever hear of her?
Never heard of Annette Andre.
Did you ever hear of a woman named Patricia Jessel?
Nope.
Did you ever hear of Inga Nielsen? There you go.
I've heard of Inga Nielsen. Oh, yeah. Is she buxom?
Well, she's she looks like she's one of
them. If your name is Inga...
Yeah,
you're probably buxom.
You've
got to be buxom if you're Inga. Hey, stick around when we get back. Porsche. Is it Porsche or Porsche?
Porsche. I once got in trouble. I was working a hockey game, and I said Porsche and the billboards. And I got in trouble from the sponsors. So from that day on, it's Porsche.
It is Porsche, the very fancy and expensive racing car. It is debuting its very first electric car. So you got to plug it in before you can take a road trip. All that's coming up next. Now let's check in on the traffic with Bernie Biker.
As we approach 9:54, coming up at the top of the hour is Mark Simone. And it's now 11 hours, 6 minutes, and 24, 23, 22 seconds until the big summit.
Oh!
President Trump and Kim Jong-un in Singapore. How do I know that? Because I'm reading it off the countdown clock on CNN.
Well, you don't miss a trick, do you, Len?
They're going to count down every minute.
Oh, boy. Breaking news. We're 11 hours away. Breaking news.
A lot of people, they kept hearing the day June 12th, which is tomorrow, which of course, but when they meet June 12th, it'll be Singapore time. It'll be 9 in the morning, June 12th. It'll be 9 at night, so it's this evening. They're going to meet. I may stay up for that.
Okay. Thank you, Father Time.
So,
yes.
What is a TAYCAN?
TAYCAN.
It's pronounced Tycon.
Tycon. Okay, Tycon. As in
Ticonderoga.
Ticonderoga.
Right. Tycon.
Yep.
What do you think it is?
A Tycon. It sounds like an automobile part. A Tycon.
No, you're very close. I may have to give that to you.
Oh, yeah. Can you give me the bell? Bing, bing, bing.
It's the name. Oh, you want the bell?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You're just so...
Well, you're the sound effects guy over there.
Yeah, I understand. All right. You happy now?
Thank you.
All right. My pleasure. So, this is Porsche's first electric car.
Oh.
The Tycon.
The Tycon.
A four-door car with a sports car shape. Tycon is a Turkish word, which translates as lively young horse.
Oh, a Tycon. Because it's
Tycon power.
Isn't the emblem of Porsche, isn't it a pony? Or a horse, right? Isn't that the emblem of a
Maybe
Porsche?
You're right. I don't know. Maybe you're right.
My uncle had a Porsche convertible.
Really?
And he lives out in Northern California. And it was...
Is that the logo? Yeah.
It was thrilling to be able to put the top down on that Porsche and to drive along the coast of Northern California zipping around.
But an interesting thought of a car like that becoming electric.
It doesn't sound like it's going to be very fast.
Would you want a Ferrari?
No.
Electric car?
An electric Lamborghini?
Doesn't sound right, does it?
No, I don't want my Lotus Esprit to be electric.
Speaking of names.
Yes.
The big mystery has been solved. Have you heard about this? Remember IHOP?
Oh, yeah. They flipped
International House of Pancakes
flipped the
P to the B. Yeah. And the great mystery is, why were they going to do that? And I just thought, because you flip a pancake.
Yep.
So if you flip over a P, it becomes a B.
Right. And B for bacon, for brunch, for whatever. Breakfast.
Did you have a guess as to what the B stood for?
I thought it would be brunch.
Brunch.
So they're announcing brunch.
Brunch.
That's not a dumb suggestion, Natalie.
Middle America's not eating brunch.
The International House of Brunch.
That is like a Greenwich Village kind of thing, maybe.
International House of Brunch.
With Bubby's. Mimosas and...
Yes, exactly. Mimosas.
Bloody Marys.
Bloody Marys, a little Tattinger champagne. Got it.
They're changing their name, mystery solved, to the International House of Burgers.
There you go, a burger.
They're debuting a line of 7 ultimate steak burgers. I have to tell you, this is a brilliant marketing plan because they have us talking about it and everyone's yes. going to know they have burgers because after about 2 weeks, they'll change it back to IHOP.
And everybody loves burgers.
Yeah. But it's who thinks of having a burger at a pancake house?
Well, they're trying to rebrand themselves, but there's nothing wrong with a burger for breakfast.
Ew.
Really?
Really?
You've had burgers?
See, you guys have not been in morning radio long enough at 6
a.m. Oh, I've tasted them.
Yeah, what's wrong
you
with
you ate 7 of them the other day when they were delivered here.
Well, they don't deliver them here. They deliver them over to Elvis Duran.
We just steal their burgers.
Yeah, but I won't eat a whole one. It's early in the morning, so I'll taste it, you know.
What's wrong with bread and meat?
Nothing.
There you go.
7 in the morning with cheese on it? Ugh.
Oh, come on.
Yuck. You want an onion in your... Ew, no, I don't want morning onion breath. It's gross.
Anyway, good idea on IHOP's part, I think.
You think so? I think it's going to work. Hey, did you see this about Meghan Markle, the new Duchess of Sussex?
Yeah.
This is what's catching on. You know, she's cute, got a nice complexion. She's got some freckles, you may have noticed. Little freckles there on the nose. Well, she's so popular that fans of hers are actually having freckles tattooed on their face.
Tattooed?
Yes, so that they can look like cute little Meghan Markle.
Wow.
So, you know, you've got a little, they can look like, I don't know, who's freckly? Well, who's freckly? Pippi Longstocking? Is she? Who's freckly?
Annie.
Little Orphan Annie? She's freckly. Annie.
Freckles have become a thing in the past year or two.
Why would you get that?
Girls actually will take like an eyeliner kind of pencil and actually put freckles onto their face.
Is this because of the popularity of Meghan Markle or they just want to look freckly?
It was before Meghan, but she has now heightened it. I mean, it was back in the 80s where everybody wanted that Cindy Crawford mole on the side of her face and they'd put extra markings on their face.
Well, they used to call that and the Marilyn Monroe beauty mark.
Exactly.
Remember that? But I don't know. Freckles are cute. They're cute.
And did she got in trouble for wearing this dress at this Buckingham Palace deal because it was a little bit off the shoulder?
Well, it was the Queen's birthday.
Yeah, but this isn't a bit. She
was showing off her shoulder freckles.
You think it's an inappropriate dress? Just a little bit off the shoulder.
It's off the shoulders. The royal family does not do that. And if you look at everybody else, they're all covered up, 3/4 sleeves, up the neck, the whole thing.
Oh, come on. I've seen the Queen in a bikini in Monaco.
That's a sight for sore. Hey, did you guys miss anything today? Check out 710WR.com/LennonMichael. You'll see the unedited Robert De Niro Tony rant. You'll see Justin Trudeau's fake eyebrows. You got to go see it. His eyebrow was falling down. Coming up next is Mark Simone after the 10 o'clock news. You wanted to mention the teacher in Parkland.
Yeah, the teacher. She was honored at the Tony Awards last night. Her name is Melody Hertzfeld, and her kids performed at the Tonys last night on CBS.
They did. They performed, and they did, what was the song again?
Seasons of Love.
Season of Rent. Love at the Tonys. So long, everyone. How do you measure?